Okay, I want to begin by wishing everybody a guten chodesh and a good zman. In a certain way, somebody mentioned this to me in the Beis Medrash. It's very nice when the zman begins on a Thursday. Friday is already interesting. You know, if you would have Rosh Chodesh on Friday, I don't know what would happen then. But to have Rosh Chodesh on Thursday is just about perfect, because you get in, you start getting your wheels turning, you get into the sugya a little bit, but there's not that massive pressure of just like being thrown into the pool, and you know, and then the week is over, and the next week, you know, you can start in earnest. It also works out very nicely with my schedule, the way that I like to do things, because you guys probably remember from last Zman already, the first day of this Zman, I always like to start off, rather than giving a regular shiur, giving a quasi-regular shiur with Divrei Chizuk. And so this time it comes out on Thursday, and Thursday's Chumash shiur anyway. So get to open up the Zman with a Chumash shiur, with Divrei Chizuk, talk about Bein HaZman, and talk about the upcoming Zman ahead, and it works out gevaldik. And one more point is that, you know, although Bein HaZmanim is nice and it's relaxing, and especially when you have a Yontif and you have a Zman Simchaseinu and all the fun stuff that happens then, but everybody realizes that Winter Zman is what it's really all about. Winter Zman, and this year we've got a 6-month Winter Zman. It's a long haul up ahead, and it's not always going to be easy. But everybody appreciates, and even a weird Wintersman like we had last year, everybody appreciates that Wintersman, the Iker growth of a person's year, is during that Wintersman. It's the longest, it's Beretzifus. And when you walk away and you realize what made you into this type of a person, into another type of person, which is not just for this year, it's forever. So that's Wintersman. So I want to just begin with a bracha, that just like we had a simcha over Bein HaZmanim, and hopefully that was a good experience. Be'ezus Hashem, over the next 6 months, we should be able to maintain that level of simcha and keep on growing each and every day, so that Be'ezus Hashem, when this is all over, this 6 month Zman, so everybody will be able to walk out a totally different person than they are right now. No reason that shouldn't happen if we all come with our lunch pail every day and do what we're supposed to do. The Parshas HaShavua this week is a Parsha just like right now. It's a Parsha of the end, and it's also a Parsha of the beginning. The end of Bein HaZmanim and the beginning of a new Zman. It's a parsha of the end. The Torah says over here, "Vayomer Elokim leNoach." Hashem says to Noach, "Ketz kol basar bo lefonai." The end of all flesh, all animals, all human beings, everything except for the fish, even the ground is going to be destroyed. It's the end. Why? Ki molar it's chamas mipnei mina mashchisa mesa aretz. I have to destroy everything, because even the animals, the Beis Halevi tells us, have become so corrupt that they lose their right to exist. And so therefore we have to get rid of everything. So that's the end. The beginning is that Noach is saved, along with his family, along with a couple good animals, along with the fish, and Noach builds a new world. And the famous pasuk on that, which is more notorious or famous for what it says bad about Noach than what it says good about Noach, is the Torah tells us that Noach came out of the Teva with his children, and then it says, Vayochel Noach Isho Adama, and Noach, the farmer, the agricultural expert, began Vayita Karem, and he planted a vineyard. Everybody knows that Noach did an aver over here. He shouldn't have planted a vineyard. He shouldn't have had the wine. But Vayochel, in the most basic sense, means that he began. Vayochel is milashon chilul, is milashon like chilul of netar ravai. Vatischalchel means that you empty out something, you create a kli. Noach fashioned the new world, and that's what Noach did. And the truth of the matter is that planting a keren, as we'll soon see, that's going to be the topic today, it wasn't really such a bad idea. The Medrash tells us that when Noach went and he planted this keren, Vayita keren, Bishoshoya Hoylech Lita keren, listen to this. When Noach was going, right, with his tools and his seeds, his vines, whatever he had there in the teva with him, and he's about to plant this keren, Efka boy Sheda Shmidain. Shmidain, the shade, met up with Noach. Okay? He's on his way to do his work. He's going to plant the first plantation vineyard after the Teva. And he meets up with Shmidain, the shade. Now, Shmidain, the shade, if you look at the Mefarshim, is like, you know, the master shade. He's not just some average demon. He's like the demon of all demons. And he says to Noach like this, Amole, Shutfimach, I'm your partner. It's a good deal. You should be planting this vineyard because they explain that, wine is a good thing. You need wine for Kiddush. You need wine for Bris Milah. You need wine for Pidyon HaBen. And you need wine because V'yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh is a pasuk in Tehillim. So wine is a good thing. But the shade gives him a warning, and he says, Ella is Dierbach, but be very careful. Don't come into my property, don't come into my part of what wine is all about, because we all know wine is good things for a lot of good people. But like anything else, wine can be abused. So the shade tells Noach, I'm your shutuf, it's a good deal, but don't come into my chelek. But if you come into my chelek, if you use the wine in a way which is no good, so then you're going to get it. Then I'm going to give you what you deserve. But be'etzem, planting the vineyard from the end of the Medrash over here, it seems like it wasn't such a bad idea. The part of the Medrash that everybody knows that it was taka a bad idea, right in the beginning of this Medrash, the Medrash says that Vayochel Noach Nischalo V'Nasechulin. By planting this vineyard, so Noach profaned himself. Lama Vayita Karim. He went and he planted a vineyard. Loi Hayo Lita Dover Acher Shel Takana. What did he have to plant a vineyard for? Why couldn't he have planted something which is going to fix the world? Why didn't he plant the branch for Te'enim, for figs? Why didn't he plant the branch for Zesim, for olives, for olive oil? Why do you have to plant grapes? Elvayita Karim. He went and he planted grapes. He was able to get drunk, able to get himself into trouble. There was a problem between him and the shade, and at the end, Noach was nichshal. But the Taina in the Medrash is, Noach, if you want to plant something new, he had many branches with him in the Teva, the Medrash says, you should have planted something safer. Plant Te'enim, plant dates, plant olives, you have olive oil. What do you have to go for the grapes? What do you have to go for the wine? Why was it that Noach did go for the wine, Derech Agav? So the Medrash tells us that too. Noach is called the Isha Adama. Isha Adama is L'Shvach. Isha Adama means that he was the master agriculturist. And he knew how to plant. No one was a match for Noach. And he was the master of the land. Like we said, that the Vayochel Noach means he began it all. He planted the world anew. But on the other hand, the Medrash tells us it's also L'Ganai. Isha Adama means is that that's who he was. You know, you have some people who are a doctor, who are a lawyer, who are a businessman. Noach, he associated too much with being a farmer. And when you associate too much with your occupation, it's not good enough to just come home with a parnasa. You got to do it with a spitz. You got to do it till the end. So how can I plant olive oil, you know? it's got to be, you know, like the Rhineland in France or wherever they grow grapes over there, or, you know, the Napa Valley in California. It's got to be the best. That's what happens when you're the Isha Adama. So Noach over here plants a kerem. And it really not such a bad idea. But on the other hand, it's not so good. He was too into his land. He was too much into being a farmer. Too much into doing it the shpitz. And therefore he got himself into trouble. The interesting point over here, and this is what I want to focus on for the rest of this year. And that is, if you're writing the Medrash over here, a bit funny. The Taina on Noach is, what do you have to plant the kerem? What do you have to plant the vineyard? Plant something that has takana, that there's some use to. So what would you think? What should he have planted? You ask me, the basics, meat and potatoes, right? Or in Tanakh terms, what are the basics? Chitin, Sa'irim, Kusmin. Chamisha made it Mine Dagan. That's life source. What's with the Remainim? No Remainim, sorry. Te'enim. Zaysim. What is it? Shios Aminim or something? And what's Bechlal the Tzad to say that a Geffen is a good thing? But the Taina on Noach was not that he didn't plant wheat. No Taina didn't plant barley. The problem was you should have taken something which is sweet but safe. Less mind-altering. What do you have to get involved with wine for? It makes you the happiest, but it's also the most dangerous. So you should have gone for the te'enim. Why you go for the te'enim? Why not the wheat? That's the real takana. Elamai, you see something very important over here about beginnings and about beginning the world and also about beginning the Zman and Limurat Torah. So over Sukkot, so, you know, I have a chance to see certain cousins, nephews, or whatever it is, family members I wouldn't be able to see otherwise. Very interesting people. I have one nephew, really a wild guy. He's a Rebbe of a number of guys in the yeshiva. Not a Rebbe in learning, he's a Rebbe in gymnastics and chin-ups. You know, they used to have that chin-up chabura. I don't know if they still have it over there in the park, in the Sanhedrin Park. So, I have a nephew, he's a mamish, a very talented individual. He's a world-class juggler. Mamish world-class, like, you know, won championships and, you know, whatever, different things like that. And my son, on one of his trips back from America, so he brought him back his unicycle. So I figured, you know, see, well, his unicycle is like, I think, taller than I am. He gets on his unicycle, he's just like outpacing all of the cars on the street or whatever. And we came here to Eretz Yisrael, so in addition to all of this stuff, so he got very, very into nutrition and gymnastics and, you know, whatever, is very careful about what he eats and everything like that. So in the sukkah, it was very shocking to me, you know, right now, so my wife likes to make cookies and cake, and she brings out the cake, and, you know, whatever it is, after everything else, and, you know, you, of course, you can imagine what he looks like, yeah? He takes a piece of cake, and I'm like, looking, wait a second, isn't like that against your religion or something? So maybe he really softened up a little bit, or he was just doing it to be nice to us, but, you know, he sort of read my mind. He says, no, you don't understand. He says, your body needs a piece of cake also. He says, because without a piece of cake, without some sugar, your body gets sad. Unless you have something that, like, keeps you happy, that keeps you ragua, that keeps you besimcha, you can't work out, you can't do any of this thing. You got to keep yourself happy. Okay, so every once in a while, you know, a piece of cake. Then my son Yehuda, some of you met him on, you know, some of the Tiulim or whatever, he was here for Simchas Pesach, he never stopped smiling. So one of the ways that he does it, I'll tell you how he does it. He has a business. Every Shabbos after davening, I'm on my way home, he runs away from me. He goes into every shul that we pass along the way, and he knows exactly who the candy man is. He either goes up to him, you know, whatever, asks for his pekalach, Or the guy, you know, is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, he does it the easy way, just sticks his hand in the guy's pocket by himself, and you know, whatever. He comes home rich every Shabbos. It's not just my nephew, and it's not just Yehuda. It's Rabbah told it to us in the Gemara in Shabbos. Yalkut Shemaini. Rabbah, or Rava, according to some Girsais. Every time they used to start a shir, you don't start a shir with heavy lumdis. You don't start a shir with setting up the sugya. What do you start off a shir with? Milsa dibdichusa. You have to start off with something light. You have to start off with a joke. Why? The lesson of the Medrash is because of the fact ki hechi de liftach li bayu. In order for people's heart to open up, in order for people to get emotionally involved, in order to get people in a good mood so they're receptive to everything else, you have to start off with something sweet. Lebesayif yaseh b'imso apasach reshmaita. Afterwards, everyone gets serious, you know, and then you can start talking about the sugya. The little kids in Cheder, Baruch Levin taught it to us, right? And give the kid honey, and then afterwards, you know, Aleph Beis is not so hard, but then afterwards you get the more serious stuff. But it always starts with something sweet. And I was thinking, L'chera, that this is the pshat in the Medrash too. Noah comes out of the Teva. The world is destroyed. You have to begin anew. And it's going to take a long time, and it's going to be a lot of hard work. So what are you going to start off with? Wheat? Barley? Okay, you know, whatever it is. Everybody wants to know if you had your Wheaties in the morning. Even Wheaties is full of sugar, you know? Wheat germ. It's bland. It's hard. It's tough. What do you start out with first? Give them some candies. Te'enim. Now we don't relate to it so much anymore because now we have like real good unadulterated junk, you know. I had a chavrusa once from Toronto, and this goes back 30 years, and he said there used to be a candy bar in Toronto called the Joe Louis Bar, and their slogan was Joe Louis, 100% health free. There is nothing good about this whatsoever, right? So we know how to take sugar and strip it of all of the good stuff and just, you know, total hard candy. But in the old days, where they didn't have that, they didn't have that technology, what was your candy? Te'enim. The Gemara says it. Te'enim. You want something really, really sweet? Take a, you know, take dates. They have date spread. My kids love date spread. The thing is sweeter than sweet. Zaysim. What's Zaysim? Eating the olives like my kids do? That's not for real civilized human beings. Olives are full of oil. And what's oil? So nowadays you have margarine and trans fat and all these things that slowly kill you. But real oil, good oil, yeah, good solid oil. They even the nutritionist will tell you, what's the best oil? It's olive oil. Olive oil adds schmaltz to your food in a healthy way. It's the fat of the land, right? Every year, the fat of the land. That's olive oil. So that's what you start out with. Start out with the candies. You start out with the fat of the land. You start out with the good stuff. Then after that, you have your wheat. You have your barley. And then after you have enough of that stuff, you can have your wine too. Just be careful that you don't get involved with Shemido in the shade. But that's the way that it goes. And that's the way that it goes with the zman also, and that's the way that it goes with life. You want to get yourself to kick yourself into something, start off with something good. So Baruch Hashem, we're starting off on Thursday, where the first thing that we have in Shir is cookies for my wife, and doesn't get any better than that. And afterwards, you have the Chumash Shir, which is also, you know, begeder a milsa dibdichusa compared to the hard work that you usually do around here. But the main thing is that it's a good way to start off on a Thursday and then going into Friday and Shabbos. Sunday, Bez Hashem, hit the ground running. But it's a long, hard zman. Like the Rosh Yeshiva says, Shas is long and Shas is hard. Yeah, but before that, so you have to have a little bit of ta'inim, a little bit of a boost of power in order to get yourself going. And even Noach knew that before he was about to build the world. Problem is, he took it one step too far. Took a risk. And not only did he have the candies, but he ended up taking the grapes, which can be mind-altering substances, and that sometimes can be dangerous. Bez Hashem, it should be a good zman, it should be a sweet zman, and yeah, it should be a hard and exhausting zman too, and it should be something that we grow from in all ways, every single day together. Have a good Shabbos.